Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together, we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your Homeschool Companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome to Homeschool Companion. Our show is going to be an interview of an 11th grade homeschool young person named Iva Godlove. But first, we have a story for the kids. Now, this story is told by my co-host for Education Currents, Paul Tooley Jr.
Oh my, there was one thing I loved more than anything else in the world when I was a little boy. It was matches. Oh, you could take those matches and you went, and you could watch it burn, and you could blow it out, and then smoke would curl up from it. But there was one thing in the whole world that my mom and dad told me not to do, and that was not to play with matches. Now, should you always do what your mom and dad say? Should you do something that you think might be wrong, but your mom and dad didn't say you couldn't, but you think it might be wrong? Should you do that? Or can you kind of guess what they might say in your head and not do it anyway, right? Well, one day I was with my cousin David, and we were up in his room playing. And as we were playing around, he said, "Shh, look what I got." And he pulled out a box of matches. He shook it. "Ooh," I said, but there was in my head. I knew. Now, my mom had not said that I could not play with matches at my cousin's house in his room. But there was something in my head that said, yeah, this doesn't seem right. I probably am not supposed to be playing with matches. Then my cousin said, "Look what else I got." And he pulled out of his pocket a bright red and yellow can, and it said lighter fluid on it. He goes, "This stuff burns like gasoline. Wow." He said, "Watch this." And he took a tuna can that had the top cut off of it, and there was no tuna inside, thank goodness, because that would have stunk. And he said, "Watch this." And he took the little can, and he pulled a little red spout up, and he held it over, and he squeezed this clear fluid that looked like water into the can. Then he took a match, he went, and he held it over that can. The can burst into flames, and we had a flaming can, and we were like, "Oh, oh, oh." And then he said, "We better put it out." And we said, "Oh, how do you put it out? How do you put a can of burning lighter fluid out? Do you know how? Do you know how?" You know what? Water turns out to be a very bad idea. Because that's what we decided to do. Because we thought, water puts fire out, right? Here's a little secret that I want you all to know that I learned that day. Lighter fluid floats on water. So when you poured the water on the fire, the water went under the lighter fluid and lifted it up. And it was still burning and it overflowed and the whole dresser went... I panicked and I took my hand and I swatted the can. And you know what? When I took my hand away, it was on fire. I look like the crazy Statue of Liberty. And I stuck my hand down between my legs and went, whizz. My pants were on fire. You know what's funny? You know what the first thing you forget when you're on fire? You know what the first thing you forget? The first thing you forget is stop, drop, and roll. It doesn't matter how many times your teacher told you, you forget it. Instead, you go run, flame, and shout. Well, fortunately, the noise brought my parents and my cousin's parents clomping up the stairs. Boom, 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 boom. And the door burst open and they went, "What? There were flames everywhere. The dresser was on fire." The room was on fire. My hand was on fire. And my pants were on fire. And I was dancing around the room. Oh, my dad picked up a quilt and threw it over me. And you know what? They threw that same quilt over the dresser then. And all was quiet. And I looked at my hand. It was still working. There was no hair on the knuckles anymore. And it smelled toasty warm. And my pants weren't burning. There were stains, but there weren't holes. And my uncle said to me, "You're a lucky boy, because lighter fluid burns at a very cool temperature. But a few more minutes and you would have been toast. Lucky we got you out when we did," and I was so thankful. So I learned a good lesson, and that lesson is, always do what your parents would say, but not only what your parents would say, but what you know they would say, even if they haven't said it yet. Now here's a question. Here's just one question to make sure you understand. Let's say you're going out this afternoon, right? You go outside, right? And you're walking along, and you look down, and there is a little possum. And the possum's kind of staggering around. Now, your mom and dad said never told you, don't touch that possum that's staggering around. So should you touch it? No, because something in your head says, well, if they were here and I said, can I touch it, what would they say to me? So not only is it important to do what your mom and dad tell you to do, it's also important that you ask them in your head when they aren't around and imagine what they would say and then do that too.
I'm here today with Iva Godlove, and I've chosen to interview her because she's a homeschool kid. Iva, how old are you?
I am going to be 17 here soon, actually.
17. 17 is a great year. 17 was my favorite year of my life. So, Iva, your mother informed me that you went through like Head Start and kindergarten, and then she homeschooled you. Do you know why she decided to do that?
I think it's because the way the public school was teaching us. And also of other kids, I was learning from them, and they were not necessarily doing good stuff.
So she decided, okay, I've had enough. Now, had she been a working mom before that?
Yeah, she worked at Sheetz, actually, for some time.
So she had to quit work, and now devote herself to educating you. And you are in the 11th grade?
That's right.
In the 11th grade, and all of it has been homeschooled. So as you look at your years now, what would you think was the biggest challenge that she might have had in this decision?
I can't answer that.
Has it been relatively uneventful, or has there been times when you could sense that she was maybe a little bit frustrated or didn't know what curriculum to get? Or,
well, I knew that around sixth grade that she was having trouble understanding how to check my homework, and that really troubled her a bit. But then we went to DVD teachers, and it really helped out for me because then I could check my own homework.
Yeah.
Mistake.
Now, talking about checking homework and checking your work, of course, for homeschooler, all of it's homework. But we use that term in education as the independent work that we're asking the student to do. They might do it at home, but they often do it at school. What are the advantages of checking your own work?
Well, you can learn from your own mistakes instead of like them handing your paper and saying, oh, you got this wrong, this wrong, this wrong. They won't tell you how you got it wrong or how you could fix it. They just don't tell you. And with homeschooling, you can just get the answer book and see how they work out the problem and see where you went wrong.
And I think, you know, that bells should be going off right now, because learning does occur right there at that point where you get the feedback. If you did it correctly, the learning it solidifies in your brain. If you got it incorrect, you can fix it, and then the correct learning is solidified in your brain. Mm-hmm. Where in these systems with large classes, we often have the students do the work, We as a teacher have so much to grade that by the time we get the papers back to these 30-some students, it might be 2 weeks have elapsed. So I think bells should be going off. That's a great point to be able to check your own work, because it should be about learning, not about what grade you get, correct?
Exactly.
So what is your favorite subject?
Oh, it's history.
History. I would never guess that. So
hands down, history.
Now, particular book or curriculum product that inspired this love for history, or is it one of your parents' subject?
Actually, the DVD teachers actually made me love history more. The one teacher I had, I've had him for 1 year. He was really awesome. He would tell like stories of his childhood, get us interested, then go into the history, how it ties in. And this year, our history teacher tells us stories that aren't in the book, so you get more feedback on how and why it happened. It's really good.
In history, you know, the word itself, his story, sounds like it should be a subject of stories. But unfortunately, we really focus on timelines and events and things like that that don't have meaning unless we put story to it.
Right.
So when you're in the 11th grade now and you're thinking about college, is that going to play a part in it?
It might.
You still don't know what you want to be when you grow up?
I'm thinking photography. I might go into photography, become a photographer. Hopefully get into National Geographic.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Well, don't feel bad. I'm still trying to figure out what I want to be when I grow up. That's why I did teaching, because you have so many options and you don't get bored because you have all these younger people and you can just go along with them and learn all these wonderful things that you didn't know before, and even the nitty-gritty of the skills, which I have to ask you about that. The skill set, learning to read, was that difficult?
Not really.
Do you remember what age you started reading?
No. I know I had phonics. That was kind of tricky, but then you had this, you know, speed reading test. I did well on those. I mean, it's been easy reading.
So the basic skills are, you know, learning to read and then learning to write. So how did you learn to write?
I guess I learned like everyone else.
Just one stroke at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And did you have handwriting books that you had to complete?
Ah, the penmanship. I loved that.
Well,
it was
good.
Nice. I mean,
it told you exactly where to start the letter, and then you just
how to write it.
And you just repeat it until you feel pretty fluent with it.
Yeah, I like it. It's so nice. And
see, I just love interviewing people that are like the empirical data that we need to prove that things like penmanship are still just as relevant today as they have ever been, or even more relevant, because it helps that part of your brain. Actually, a student who practices penmanship is building up other portions of the brain that will then be open to other knowledge. So penmanship, great skill. Reading, a great skill. What about counting and math, multiplication, division, those kinds of skills?
Were they easy for me?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, again, the speed test with, you know, your multiplication tables and all that, I usually got A's on that. It's really easy.
So we always say with homeschooling students that there are some students that practically teach themselves, and then there are other students that really need to be taught. Were you one of those students that practically taught yourself, or did you need to be taught?
Well, when I was younger, my mom would teach me out of the teacher's manual. It was sort of like she was reading, I was listening. Other than that, I think I basically learned everything myself from seeing the DVD teachers do the problem on the board and then me doing it on my paper.
Well, we have to take a break right here, but when we come back, I want to talk to you about your social development. We'll be right back. Mm-hmm. Welcome back to Homeschool Companion. I'm here with Iva, and Iva is an 11th grade student who has been homeschooled from first grade through 11th grade. And, you know, we'll have to interview your mom sometime, too, because now we're hearing your side of the story. We'll need to hear her side of the story as well. One of the big criticisms with homeschooling is that children aren't getting the appropriate socialization. And I wondered if I wondered what your take on that, first of all. Have you really missed that socialization component?
Not really. I mean, we're pretty socialized.
What has your mother routinely done through the years to make sure that you had a social group to interact with?
She created the Home Sweet Home School Co-op, and that is really nice.
About how many members is in that co-op now today?
Kids, I think there's like 30 kids. That's not including parents, so I'd say 60 members.
So she created this co-op really out of a tremendous love for you. You must feel very honored. She's shaking her head. No, she doesn't feel honored. She's very humble. Iva's very humble. So when did she first start the co-op? Do you remember about what grade you were in?
I can't remember. It was some time ago.
Yeah, to have 30 students now in it. How often do you meet, and what do you do?
We meet every other week, except the summer, because that's summer break. And what we do, we have choir, we have PE, and then we have a class. It depends what we choose for that year, or rather what the adults choose for that year. And we have chimes and bells. Chimes for the little kids and then bells for the older kids.
And so what are you all involved in? What do you do?
I'm in the choir. I go to PE. I go to the class. And I am in senior bells, which is very nice.
That is very nice. In senior bells, let's say, how many students approximately your age are in that group?
I think 11. There's 11 positions, so 11 of us ring bells.
And do you interact or call each other? Or are you friends outside of this co-op?
Oh, yeah. There's more to life than just co-op.
More to life than just co-op. So your mother helped create this co-op, or, you know, was the moving force behind it. What other activities does she get you involved in?
We just go out and have fun. I mean,
now I noticed that you were playing, I don't know if it was soccer or...
Yes. Soccer.
So did you, was that your idea to play soccer with one of the local leagues or?
Yeah, I actually did. It was quite nice. Good to travel around, see stuff.
And wear shin guards and all of that.
Oh, yeah.
And get beat up by all the other soccer players.
Oh, yeah. You got to watch out for them.
That's the only thing I don't like, too, is I see all of these students that I know that are playing in the spirit of friendship and fellowship, and then you get a few teams come up against you and they're ready to knock you out.
Yeah, we've had that happen.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. So I think probably if I could give one word of advice to all parents, and that is, you know, teaching your children how to navigate in a competitive world.
Yeah.
It's not whether you win or lose. They need to know how to handle the competition, though. So these opportunities are absolutely important. Now, we talked a little bit about friends, and I don't know if you have anything more you'd like to add, but looking at your parents' perspective on friendship, do they really guard who you associate with? I mean, you are in the 11th grade now, so I imagine they're giving you more choices.
Yeah, I've seen this when I've been growing up. They've been giving me a lot more responsibility and choices. They haven't been telling me what's right or what's wrong. They sort of know. Yeah. They can trust me.
That's right. That's the operative thing, trust. Trusting your student, trusting your child. Okay, so we're looking now. You're in the 11th grade. Have you started studying for the SATs or the ACTs, any of that kind of preparation?
Nope.
So from that answer, I take it that your mother's probably, her take on that is the best preparation is just to be diligent with all of your schoolwork as it is presented to yourself.
Yeah, that's just how she sees it.
Yeah, just be diligent. That's how my parents were, and I was always so shocked when my friends would be spending hours studying for the SAT. Of course, they did score better than I did, but, you know.
Yeah.
I'm here doing the radio show, and they're not, so there.
Where are they now?
Yeah, I don't know where they're at. I know where I'm at, but I don't know where they're at. So you're looking at maybe photography. Are you going to take online work, or are you thinking of actually leaving home to go to college?
Well, my parents put it to me this way. You're going to college. So I guess I'm going to college. I don't know where yet, but I'm going.
And that could mean locally.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't really picked out a college yet. I mean, there's Adventist College, there's like your local college, but I'm leaning towards local. That way they don't have to pay for the room and board. Mm-hmm. I could just go home and sleep, you know?
Yeah. Do you consider yourself a homebody, or are you ready for some adventure?
I'm ready to get out. I'm ready to see the world. Yeah. Even though I've seen already most of the United States, I would like to spend more time in the areas.
Now, how does your father support your homeschooling?
I think he likes it a lot. I mean, he's on some weird shifts at work, and if I'm homeschooled, I can see him whenever he comes home.
Yeah, and he's obviously faithfully worked to support the family, make sure that your mom could stay at home and homeschool you. Now, are you the only child?
No.
So you've got to tell me about your siblings.
Oh, no. I have a little brother. He's 3 years younger than me. His name is Will.
Yeah. Is he homeschooled too?
Yep, he is homeschooled as well.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then you do have somebody to bump against, and that's always important to learn about sharing and how another person looks at the world.
Sharing? What? Yeah. I mean, I like him. I mean, when I was younger, I used to think he's really annoying. But I think as we're getting older, we're liking each other more.
Yeah.
We play video games together sometimes. We just pick on each other.
Yeah.
Just for fun.
And I can tell you right now that if you did go away, he would miss you tremendously.
That's what my parents keep saying every time I spend a weekend over at my friend's house. Yeah. Will missed you.
Yes. Now, have you gone on any mission trips or things like that?
We're going on a mission trip here soon.
Tell us about the mission trip.
Well, we're going to the Philippines for 2 weeks. And while we're there, we're going to build a church, do some medical care, some dental, and some eyeglasses, and run a VBS during the night.
Well, we've come to the end of our show, and I wondered what words of advice you might give to the young parent that's trying to make a decision whether to homeschool or not.
It depends on what your kid's character is greatly. You have to take the kids, how well they'll do if you decide to homeschool. And if they can't just be homeschooled, you should try to aim for a Christian school. The Amen. Public school should be the last resort.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you so much for spending this time with us. And next time we'll catch up with your mom and get her side of the story. But I think you're a great testament to the success of homeschooling. Thank you so much for being with us. And I have one last thing to say, and that is God bless.